Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show. And, of course, we are in February. I don't know where the first month went, but, oh, my gosh, February is – it's one of my favorite months, but at the same time, it's one of my sad months because that's the month that I lost my mom the day before Valentine's Day. And, yet, that was one of our favorite holidays. And my son is getting married, so – we got some good things, and I hope that you are enjoying your weekend. We're so grateful that you tuned in here. I do want to remind you that you can download our podcast, and that is The Kim Pagano Show. That's on every podcast platform, so please take us with you and share us. And, of course, it was so fun seeing everybody, all my listeners that called in and won tickets to Levity Live. That was great seeing everybody out there, and we're going to have more giveaways. And also, if you have a business or you have an event that you want to share here on the Brighter Side of Life, I would love to have you call in. And, of course, that number is 805-419-0008. And, of course, we always start our show with something uplifting. What you do speaks so loudly that sometimes you can't even hear what you say. So remember, your actions are really what guides you and what guides people towards you. So anyways, we've got a great show for you today. And of course, I just want to say that I thank all of my sponsors. We wouldn't be here without all of you. And again, if you are looking to get your name out there, your business out there, your story out there, please give us a chance here on the Kim Pagano Show. We'd love to share you. All right. With that, I'd love to bring my first guest on, Kendara Blake. She's the author of One Girl in All the World. I've got her book right in front of me. And she's a fan of the cult classic TV series, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And this book is all about that. And, of course, almost like the Buffy-like successor, takes readers back in the demon capital of the world. In the sequin in every generation. And Kendara, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm sorry to hear about your mom in February, but it sounds like you've got some new things to celebrate with your son's wedding this month.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, you are absolutely right. And, the one thing that is great is I had so many amazing memories with her, but losing a mom is always really hard. So if you have your mom still, definitely give her a hug today and, tell them that you love them, because there's really like nothing better than one mom, you know? So anyways, thank you, Kendara. Talk to us about your book. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it just came out on Tuesday, January 31st. So it's still very fresh.
Nice. And how many books do you have?
Well, this is the second book in the Buffy the Next Generation series. But myself personally, I think I have, I should actually know this count, but I feel like this is my 14th.
Wow. Good for you. That is so cool. I love it. Now, who inspired you to write your book?
I would say no one person in particular. I've just always loved books, and I've always loved reading. My mom used to take me to the library like every Saturday in the summertime, and we would just like load up on picture books about unicorns of all things. And I never really stopped reading. So once you start reading, you kind of start wanting to tell your own stories and wondering if you can. And it's led me here.
I love it. I love it. And obviously you love this whole series of Buffy the Vampire, correct?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was a Buffy fan from the time the show, started almost. I think I caught a few episodes in the second season and was like immediately hooked. Like my teenage brain was so blown away by this young, tiny, blonde cheerleader type just kicking demons left, right, and center. And I was obsessed with it immediately and continued to be until the show went off the air after 7 seasons.
Yeah, I love it. And so what has made the character of Buffy so endearing for 25 years from your mouth, right?
Well, honestly, there are so many things about Buffy that kind of makes her an icon. It's mm-hmm. almost hard to think about it now because of shows like Buffy. We have so many great young women who are doing, you know, dynamic, incredible things. But back then, when the show first aired, she was kind of breaking new ground. It was not really seen before. Buffy the Vampire Slayer as a show was doing a lot of stuff that wasn't seen that often on TV at the time. And I think that Buffy herself, played by Sarah Michelle Gellar, the one and only, was so relatable just as a human being. She was so many different things. She was a superhero, clearly. She was incredibly physically strong, but she was also incredibly funny, incredibly vulnerable, kind of a dork sometimes. I mean, she had such relatable high school experiences that you watched her go through high school as she was also saving the world, and you felt like you knew what that was like. Like, you and she were having similar experiences in your own high school.
Wow, I love that. And I'm sure that you were not alone. I'm sure there were so many people that really felt that connection with her. So you were a fan of fantasy novels and, of course, supernatural when you were growing up. Like, what was your thoughts about them? Did you think, like, anything's possible? Did that kind of help you?
I don't know. That's always a question that I'm asked. I write a lot of horror, some very dark stuff. But, you know, I know a lot of horror writers, and they're actually the nicest people you're going to meet, I think, because we work it all out on the page.
Right.
We don't have to be mean to people in our daily lives because we're just murdering them on the page constantly. So I don't know. They're like, oh, did you have a really twisted childhood or something? I'm like, no, I grew up on a farm. It was fine. Everything was fine. I have no excuses for writing the things that I do. I did pick up Stephen King maybe a few years too early, but it turned out great, and I still love Stephen King to this day. So,
One of my daughters, my oldest daughter, loves Stephen King, and I was like, oh my God, it's kind of like, that's a whole nother world right there, but I love it. And so let me ask you, okay, your work spans several generations, from Anna Dressed in Blood, is your horror, Goddess War Trilogy is a mythology, and then Three Dark Crowns is fantasy, and now this, One Girl in All the World, explores vampires. If you could, how would you label yourself as a writer?
I don't. I do jump around into different categories, so if I try to find like a common thread, I think every writer has like these perpetual ideas that they keep kind of relitigating with themselves. You know, they keep wanting to go back and just reinvestigate a little bit more that we keep returning to. For a long time, I was kind of interested in, you know, just the human experience. But now I think looking back at my body of work, if I had to pick a common thread, I write about monstrous girls. And girls who have been misunderstood in some way. Like, I think, actually, that was just a recent revelation that I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, all of my girls are really terrible, but, you know, really complicated. And I write a lot about how they're perceived and things that happen to them. But with Buffy, it's totally different because Buffy is not mine, clearly. I don't own the rights to Buffy. Buffy is owned by the Disney Corporation now after the Fox merger. And so me being able to write Buffy was just kind of like a stroke of luck as a huge Buffy fan. It's something that 16-year-old me would never imagined being able to do.
Right, right. And let me ask you, did it help you? You know, it's interesting, like your life and your life story of growing up, is there any resemblance
To Buffy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, I mean, Buffy is kind of an almost strangely universal high school experience. So, like, mm-hmm. she went to high school. I also went to high school.
Right.
What Buffy did as a show is they cleverly presented demons and often had them stand in as metaphors for the high school experience. So,
right.
like, there would be an episode where a girl who didn't have any friends and who was constantly kind of just being overlooked by the rest of her classmates, like, she was that girl who, in her high school yearbook, you would just write, "Have a great summer." Like, that's, like, the worst thing that you can write because you don't have anything personal to say to them. And her whole yearbook was plastered with, "Have a nice summer." And then in the Buffy universe, since demons abound, this girl actually literally became invisible and turned
wow.
kind of evil once she was invisible, and then Buffy had to fight her. So watching those episodes, like, everybody kind of knows in high school we have those moments where we feel invisible. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think it was just a very relatable show, and to this day it continues to be a very relatable property.
Right. And do you think, you know, with all the bullying in the world right now, especially, you know, with the internet being 24/7 and not being able to, you know, actually or being able to write about somebody and not being face to face with them, kind of like you're writing, you know, do you think that has contributed to bullying this?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch your last word. Bullying, like the bullying
yes.
is worse
yes.
now? Oh, well, yeah. Because, I mean,
yeah,
at least
right?
back before the internet, we didn't have to present ourselves as, like, this brand. Now that social media abounds, you know, we're kind of all encouraged to just show the best sides of ourselves and
mm-hmm.
to show it all the time. But before the internet, you could go home, and even if high school was bad or you had a bad day or you were having a fight with a friend, hopefully you still had a place to escape that. But the internet is there for you 24/7,
right.
like you mentioned. So I have to imagine that if Buffy was still on today, there would be very incisive episodes twisting this concept
well,
around and you know, turning that
yeah.
into some kind of demon.
I would have to agree with you 100%. So let me ask you, when you're writing these books and in the writing process, is it a chore or is it like just like your passion?
Oh, yeah, I love writing. The writing is still the best part of it. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
what I got into this job to do, is with the hope to be able to write stories for a living. It is also fabulous to be able to meet readers. And I've met so many cool librarians and teachers over the years. That's been an
mm-hmm.
unexpected perk, just to get
mm-hmm.
to, you know, hang out with them and meet them. But
that's very cool.
The writing is what we spend as writers most of our time on, clearly. Many, many months of the year, it's just me alone in front of a computer for hours and hours a day. So if I didn't love the writing, if the writing was a chore, it'd be a really hard job to have. But luckily,
right.
I still do just adore it.
I love it. I love it. Do you have any other writers in your family?
No, not in my family, no. But I live in the Seattle-Tacoma area, and we have a great community of writers here. Like, a lot
Where
of
do you live?
People here. In the Seattle-Tacoma area.
Oh, in Seattle, yeah. Okay, cool, yeah. So let me ask you, what are you looking for your readers and my listeners to learn in your book?
From this book, I have two goals. One, for Buffy fans to feel like they're just reading a lost episode of the show. I've tried to structure
mm-hmm.
these books as like a little mini season. So Buffy
mm-hmm.
has Monsters of the Week. She has an overarching big bad, and I've tried to incorporate that into every one of these books. That was my main goal. I didn't want them to feel like they were like reading something new from me. No Buffy fan wants that. We just want more Buffy. So that was my job. And
right.
my second goal with this was to bring in a whole new generation of Buffy fans, because the end game is for Buffy to never die and for Buffy to be forever. And we just have more and more Buffy content until the end of time.
Wow, that's great. And let me ask you, where do we find your book and what's next?
Well, you can find the books at your favorite local retailer. You can find them in national retailers, the Buffy books, and many of my other books are also in Barnes & Noble. You can find them at your favorite online retailer. If you would like to talk to me about the books or just follow me on social media, I'm on Instagram at Kendara Blake, and I'm also on Twitter. And up next, we do have one more book in this Buffy series coming out next year. So Buffy the Next Generation is a trilogy. The next year, the next book doesn't have an official title yet, but it will be out in January, and I have finished writing it. So that's good. And I also have a new fantasy coming out in September, which I'm going to unveil the cover for very soon.
There you go. I love it. How long does it take you to write a book?
Well, these Buffy books I had to do pretty quickly. We were kind of on a crash schedule. They wanted to time the release of the first book with the anniversary, the 25th anniversary of the show. So I only had about 3 months to draft it, which was super fast. Left to my own devices, I like 9 months. So doing one in 3 months was a bit of a race.
And a goal, right? I mean, that's
yeah.
I love it. So give us the last thing here. What's your favorite part about One Girl in All the World? And of course, we're talking to Kendara Blake, her newest book.
My favorite part about One Girl in All the World is the main character, Frankie Rosenberg. She's the daughter of our favorite witch from that world, Willow Rosenberg. And she's the one who's been called to become a new Slayer. And just getting to know her over these two books and seeing how scrappy she is and how ridiculous her slaying style is in comparison to her Aunt Buffy's has been super fun.
Mm-hmm. I love it. You know, you make it really fun. I'm going to have to read through this book and get some info and enjoy it from what you've been telling me. Again, thank you so much for being here on the Kim Pagano Show. Please download our podcast, share our show with everyone, and follow us on social too, and we'll follow you back.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. And congratulations, and keep up that great work.
Thank you.
All right. We are going to take a really quick break. And of course, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Judy Wilkins Smith, Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint, A Powerful Guide to Transformation Through Disentangling Multi-Generation Patterns. There might be something that you didn't even know about that you got from your family or somebody in your generation, and you're just bringing it forward into your life. But once we know it, we can maybe change that. So stay with us. And again, we'll be right back.
Of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com. Main Street Mortgage guides and educates clients based on three fundamental principles coined by America's homeownership coach, John W. Mallett, which form the basis of their unique approach to building wealth and well-being through homeownership. When followed, these principles result in their clients' successful purchase of their home and lay a strong foundation for sustained homeownership. Main Street Mortgage's mission, purpose, and goals are to provide you with the tools to finance and purchase your dream home. Come one step closer to homeownership by contacting Gina at 818-874-9900. That's 818-874-9900. Don't put your dreams on hold any longer. Call today.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, my next guest, we do have a giveaway. And of course, you can call in for her book. And of course, our phone number here is 805-419-0008. All you have to do is leave us your name, your number, and your email. And one of our team members will get back with you either by a text or by a call. And of course, let's bring our next guest on, Judy Wilkins-Smith. She is a Genealogy 2.0. Decode the emotional DNA and create the relationship you really desire. And of course, Judy is a world-renowned systemic work and constellations expert. She's the author, motivator, speaker, an executive coach and trainer, offers guidance for shifting unconscious inherited patterns and transforming your relationships by working with hidden patterns. I love this. Let's welcome Judy Wilkins-Smith. Judy, welcome and thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Kim. It's lovely to be with you.
Well, thank you so much. Tell us a little bit about yourself. And of course, is this your first book?
This is my first book. This book wasn't meant to even be a book, but people kept saying, write the book, so I did.
And, wow, that's wonderful. That's the way you want to write a book, correct?
I guess you're right. I really had no intention of doing it, but here we are.
There you go. And where are you from?
I'm originally from South Africa, and I'm now living in Texas.
Oh, there you go. Okay, wonderful. So let me ask you a little bit about, first of all, this is interesting, like who knew that people, you can actually look back in your family and find traits that, you know, that have been handed down to you, correct? And unfortunately, right?
Fortunately and unfortunately, it's what we call your emotional DNA. So most
right.
people understand that they inherit physical DNA, but your patterns
right.
of thoughts, feelings, and actions, absolutely you inherit. And often they feel very intense for you and as though they belong to you. But what they're really asking for is there are patterns that are incomplete or patterns that are wanting to accelerate, and they're looking to you to do that.
Wow, that's interesting. And so, first of all, I know that we are in the February month, right? And Valentine's Day, and some of us not feeling this love this Valentine's Day, but your ancestry could be messing up your life, right? So talk to us a little bit further about that.
Oh, absolutely it could. So you come along and you meet the love of your life and you think, this is it. We're going to get married. You can picture the whole thing. And then this little voice, you know, those lovely little voices start saying, well, oh, yeah, but you know what? In our family, the men never last. All the men leave. This is going to be the same as everybody else. I may as well just not do it right now. All that's happened is if you look at it, you're repeating a pattern, or you think you're about to repeat a pattern. So let's suppose we look then at mom and we see, okay, so mom did not have happy relationships. And we look at mom's mom and grandma struggled with them and great grandma didn't keep hers either because he went off to war and he didn't make it back. Well, unfortunately, it really wasn't his fault, but that pattern of men leave gets anchored in our mind. And so it passes down from person to person to person until it gets to you and you're going, oh, no, I'm not doing this. I mean, he's lovely, but I just know he's going to leave.
And now, isn't that even like, you know, if you have a divorce in the family, like, oh, God, everybody's gotten a divorce, right?
Exactly.
And you're like, yeah, I mean, my parents were divorced, and there was times when, you know, my husband and I were like a little shaky, and I'm like, no, we are not. I mean, obviously, I don't have like the the definite, you know, no, but I was like, no, we're going to work through this. I don't want to be another statistic. And I see families that are like that, or maybe, you know, that somebody can't keep a job or somebody is, you know, alcoholics, right? Or druggies, you know, that kind of thing. But how do you break that pattern?
So first thing is you've got to recognize the pattern. And the way to do that is to sit down and ask yourself two things. Where do I struggle the most in life continually? And what are my deepest desires? Because now you've got the pattern that needs to stop and the pattern that needs to start. So when you look at the pattern that needs to start, you sit down and you write down everything about that particular subject. Maybe it's relationships in this case. Everything you think about relationships. What do I think? What do I feel? What are the actions that I take? When did that start for me? How has it affected me? What do I make it mean about me? What do I make it mean about others? Is there a pattern like this anywhere else in the family? So you may be the originator of it, but your chances are high that you're following a multi-generational pattern. And the way to stop that is to then, you've seen it. Now what's your deepest heart desire? And to write down again, what are the thoughts? What are the feelings? What are the actions? When did the new desire start for me? Why is it so important? And then begin telling your brain different thoughts. Because often those little voices are multi-generational voices. You've got to start populating it with your voices.
That's and when interesting.
You do that, yeah, when you do that and the body goes, yes, and you have a really strong emotion with it, and you've all done this, you think, I want to go on vacation. Oh, that's not wise. You should be saving. But I really want to go on vacation. If the desire is strong enough, it'll pull you past all of those multi-generational patterns and limitations.
Wow. So how did you get into this? And how did you put this, you know, start this career?
So, gosh, yeah, it was one of those things where, you know, somebody was kind of looking up to you maybe. My father was killed. And it was a question of write books or go crazy. So I figured writing books was probably a better option. So started writing books, met someone who was doing this kind of work. They said, come study my work and I'll help you with a book. So I studied the work and got zero help, may I tell you, with the book. But what happened was I began doing this for families and individuals. And then people said to me, well, if you could do that for families and individuals, can you work with leaders and companies? And the answer is absolutely yes, because you also get organizational DNA and money DNA. So I went in and learned the patterns that you see in organizations and what they were doing or weren't doing around money and got into that. But the most interesting part of that was somebody said to me about 4 years into it, well, of course you'd do it. And I said, why? And they said, because it started in South Africa. Well, I hadn't known that. It started in South Africa with a missionary going to observe a Zulu tribe. And he discovered they didn't have neuroses because they always looked in the family system. And he developed that and developed what we have, or the beginnings of what we have today. And even more interesting, when I left my field of medicine, the person who gave my farewell speech was a Zulu gentleman. And he said, you may be leaving us, but you'll find a way to represent us in the world. And I laughed, and I do.
And you did. Wow, that's beautiful. So talk to us, what is emotional DNA?
That's your patterns of thoughts, feelings, and actions. And you find it very quickly in places where you're dogmatic, where the family all says, where you make statements or you have big language around things. Those are the places that you look for it, or the places that you're continually stuck. I always get to this level of money and then I lose it all. Or I get to this level in my career and I U-turn. Why are you doing those? It's not just you. You're repeating a pattern and it's asking you to take a look so that it can change and become something remarkable.
Wow, that's really interesting. I love it. And I just, for anybody that's just tuning in with us and starting your day in a positive way here, one, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life, where we bring guests from all over the world to inspire you and to help you live your best life. That's what this is all about. And, of course, we're talking with Judy Wilkins-Smith and her book. This is so interesting to me, Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint. So do we all have a blueprint? I mean,
everybody has a blueprint.
Yeah. Yeah, and so how can we best, like if we could, you know, identify inherited relationship patterns, how do we do that?
You go to the places that really frustrate you, make you sad, make you mad, or make you incredibly creative and passionate, and you'll begin to see that you have patterns of that. Now, some people will say to me, that's fine, but I don't know my genealogy. And I also don't know my family. Now what? Try blind your own life. When you do that, you will find the patterns. But this work is pretty much genealogy 2.0. Genealogy 1.0 says, here's where you belong. Genealogy 2.0 looks at the events and the decisions that you made about those events that have created the life that you're living now. And you can undo that anytime you want to. Because what people don't realize is they are truly remarkable beings, and all they got to do is look.
Wow. So once you, like, it's almost kind of like the saying, what you don't know, you don't know. But once you know it, you can have, you know, like if you're a person that never finishes anything, let's just use that as a perfect thing.
Oh, I love that example.
Thank you, because there are families like that. I remember when my kids were young and they wanted to try a sport, and I was like, okay, you know our deal. If you try it, you have to finish it. And they were like, I'm sure I probably gave them like major anxiety, but that was, you know, something I thought, like, walk it all the way through the end, because 9 out of 10 times, by the time you're done, you're like, this wasn't that bad. But if
exactly.
You don't try it, right? So how would you change that thought?
Well, so here's the thing that's interesting about the example you picked. Sometimes in this work, what we see is if you've had somebody who died early or departed early, gone away early, and they couldn't complete their what we would call a full life, someone who comes after them will start things but not finish them. And what they're doing is they're unconsciously loyal to the one who left. What you want to do to break that is to say, for all the ones who couldn't complete, I can. And then really kind of buddy yourself into, what one thing can I complete? What two things can I complete? Because you're
wow.
Changing it up. Somebody created the pattern. You're creating a new one.
Wow, very inspiring. That's a great way to look at it. It's almost like having the courage to make that change.
It's you know what, Kim, it's having the courage, but it's also having the excitement, because enlightenment is an amazing thing. And if you go into it with excitement and you go, you know what, I really can have an adventure. It doesn't matter what age you are or what stage you are. But if you go in with that attitude, you're going to start spotting patterns, and you're also going to start spotting possibilities. And that's where the magic is.
I love that. And not to bring this up again, but you said you lost your father, correct?
Did
you feel stranded? Did you have your mom, a family? Or like, what made you? I mean, obviously, this is where you picked up your pieces, correct?
Yes. I always say, in fact, it was interesting. So the pattern in our family was there had been three different family members who were killed in a hospital by bad medicine. There was a pattern. Yeah. But people say to me, how can you find anything good in that? Well, interestingly enough, my daughter is a physician, and she's been the one to kind of bring the trust back. But even so it, she begins to change the pattern, right? But
right.
People say to me, there is no good in your father being killed. And I say, stop. He was going to die at some point. Isn't it incredible that he gave me the final gift of, it's your turn to do something, and started a different career for me?
Wow, that's beautiful. And what a positive way to look at it. And I'm sorry for your loss, but you took the gift that he gave you, and look where you are today. What a beautiful gift.
And let me ask, always gifts. Even in the worst train smash, there are always gifts.
Right. Wow, that's beautiful. My last question to you, not my last because I have so many. This is so interesting, but you talk about systemic work in constellations. What is that?
Okay, so systemic work is the study of you within your system. You didn't happen in a vacuum. You're the result of all of those patterns that came before you. So it's, where do they come from? How are they affecting you? What can you do with them? Constellations is very much a breakthrough part of this work. What we do is we either use live representatives, or if we don't have those, we use figurines or pieces of paper. And what happens is this. You come to me with an issue. We identify the relevant members of that issue. And then each one represents one of those members. And so we take either the paper, the figurines, or the live representative, and I ask you, give me a picture of what that's like for you. And you set it up for me so that they're in relationship to the issue and one another. Now you've created a 3D version of what you keep trying to solve in your head. But because you can see it in front of you, you can walk in it, you can touch it, you can hear it, you can speak to it, you suddenly begin to have very different insights. Very different pieces click and come together. And so people have many aha moments in the moment.
Judy Wilkins-Smith, thank you so much for being on our show. Where do our listeners get your book? And we have a book to give away. So please call in right now, 419-0008. That's 419-0008. And if you could give out your website.
Absolutely. They will find me at judywilkins-smith.com. Very reachable via that.
There you go. Judy, please share our show with everyone. Download our podcast. And thank you for your input. It's brilliant, and I really appreciate you being a part of our show.
Thank you for having me. It was an absolute pleasure, and I will do.
You got it. All right. Thank you so much. All right. Well, we are going to take a really quick break. When we come back, I have the amazing men from Manhattan of Camarillo, located right here in Santa Rosa Valley, in Santa Rosa Camarillo. And I want to tell you all about it so that you can maybe get your Valentine's together and go and visit them. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Beautiful. Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com for WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans. Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. And, of course, my next guests are from the Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the beautiful Camarillo Santa Rosa Valley. And if you've never been here, this is a great destination for a date night. In fact, Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and I would definitely recommend taking some time to make some reservations to get there. They've got live entertainment, relaxed environment inside, and at the same destination they have nestled just outside is Madison Beer Garden, is hosting 60 different beers on draft and bottle. And it's just a really cool vibe there, and also happy hour. I mean, they've got some really great gourmet cuisine and happy hour prices. So with that, let's bring Tom Petrucci and Alfonso Betancourt from Manhattan of Camarillo. Welcome, guys. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kim. Hi, Alfonso. Yeah. Alfonso, you are the chef, right? Talk to us a little bit about some great food there, because I'm telling you, I've got some of my favorites there.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming last weekend. You can see how it's if you don't get there early, you know, there's reservations, you won't get a table. So it's one of those things that, like, you know, we encourage you to make a reservation because we are getting quite busy. But yeah, we have a couple different menus. We have an awesome menu for the pub and bar area, cocktail area, which is our happy hour menu. Our happy hour menu is all night. It doesn't have a certain amount of hours linked to it, but it is all night. And that's where you get your sandwiches and your burgers, your unique appetizers, pizzas, absolutely. And it also goes with these great drink specials that we have. So it goes hand in hand. And then we have our dining room menu, which has amazing classics from the past, Italian classics, like grandma
chicken passata
and
chicken passata
and
eggplant parmesan. I could just keep running those off. I love
it's on and on. The list goes on and on. You can go online. You can look at pictures. You can look at the different menu options that we have. We have an amazing fresh pasta that we serve. We have lobster ravioli, which is a house favorite. We have a new dish called our steak stroganoff. It's made with fillet tips, and it's been a very, very classic dish. You know, it's not your traditional stroganoff, but it's the Manhattan-style stroganoff. So it's one of those things that you just have to try it for yourself. One of the other, we have this amazing ahi tuna appetizer that is the crowd pleaser, crowd favorite. We also have a calamari that's a little different. People are used to you know, the rings of calamari that they're deep fried. And don't get me wrong.
This is
a
steak, right? Because I had that.
Absolutely.
It was amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, kudos to you.
Thank you. What we do is we use the steak of calamari and we chop it up into strips. And our Manhattan calamari, which is our one of our specials, is we toss it with a sweet chili, peppers, onions, and a little bit of our bolo meat that's along with it. So it's kind of like a little surf and turf, but the flavors match up perfectly. It's very delightful and delicious. One of a kind. You can't get anywhere else. And so we're very proud of some of these dishes that we have.
I love it. Alfonso, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long have you been with Manhattan and what's your passion? Like, who was your mentor that you started doing all this cooking?
lots of questions right there.
lots of questions. Very packed, very packed. Well, I started cooking. I would say I've been in the hospitality business for over 20 years. I started young. You know, one of my greatest inspirations was my mom. She's a fantastic cook. And, you know, growing up in a household that we had a lot of home-cooked meals, that's where my palate started, over home-cooked meals. And so moving from there, you know, I was an athlete all my life, and I really didn't expect to move into to being a chef, but because it was always my it was more of a hobby than the expectation of thinking that one day I would become a chef. But right. Long story short, I went to a culinary school in Santa Monica, California, called the Art Institute of Los Angeles. And I fell in love with the tour, and I signed up that very same day. You know, now we're 25 years later, and or 20, you know, plus years later, and here I am at the Manhattan. Wow. I've been here for about 5 years now. In actually, this month will be 5 years. And,
congratulations! You picked a great home.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a great home. And you know, the ownership is awesome. The management, I couldn't. You know, Tom is an amazing boss to work for, and so I'm a lucky guy.
I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you. Tom, talk to us about the bones of Manhattan. First of all, you guys have this incredible room that people can have private dining parties and, you know, and birthday parties or, you know, anniversary, whatever, any kind of celebration. And you can, like, what, fit up to, like, 40 people in there, correct?
Yeah, we actually have a couple areas in the restaurant that we can do private dining. One is our wine room, which was built out, surrounded by wine. It's just a very elegant, intimate room, holds up to 40 guests. And we do events out in the beer garden as well, which we do a buffet out there, and that can hold up to 60 guests. You know, the restaurant itself.
Oh, even bigger. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, the restaurant is so multifaceted, though. You know, it's really like having two restaurants under one roof, if you think about it, because of the pub menu, which we call a happy hour menu outside, is a menu of itself. It's not a traditional happy hour menu. You know, I think it's got 30 items on it, 30-plus items. So, and then, you know, there's live music that we bring in, and we're doing comedy nights now. And it's just, you know, we really – are trying to promote and create fun. You know, our busy lives, you know, are so stressful and so so packed with everyday life that, you know, we really want people to come and have an experience at the Manhattan and enjoy themselves, whether it's trivia on Thursday nights.
I know, talk to us about that, trivia. I love it. I got to get my bunko and, you know, my games back in there because that was, people, we had a ton of people. So, you know, with all of the pandemic, things are slowly coming back. And I saw that in your restaurant. People are there having a great time.
Right.
So talk to us about the trivia. Yeah. Do you have to sign up for that or how does that work?
No. I mean, it's very casual. It's free to play. It's Thursday nights, every Thursday night. And we do it out in the beer garden. Which is heated, by the way. I know the nights are getting cooler nowadays, but there's no problem with warmth out there. Starts at 7 o'clock. It's free to play. We do advise people to get there early to get a table. Goes for a couple hours, and it's more pop culture oriented than some other trivia games. Patty from Holographics, she comes out and she does a great job, and she's got quite the following, and you know, it's just a great way to reconnect and have fun and have delicious food and a drink on top of that. And we've really enjoyed our Thursday nights. It's a lot of fun.
I love that. I was there and had one of your margaritas, and oh my gosh, what's so different about your margarita? Maybe I don't know who can speak with, but it's like fresh. Squeeze this whole lady, this whole table beside me. They're like, you have to have one. I'm like, I already ordered one. And they were like, oh my gosh, these are like, they're just so clean, tasting.
Yeah, you know, we really pride ourselves on that margarita. You know, it's handmade. You know, the muddling of a sugar cube, fruits, and you know, there's no pre-made mixers in that drink, and you taste the difference. You know, you know, it's Steve Brown is our bar manager, and he prides himself on that, and he's got the biggest forearms I've ever seen for muddling all that fruit. I mean, he'll do on a night, I don't know, 30 or 40 margaritas, but he makes them all to order. You know, he muddles everything to order. So, you know, it's what you put in is what you get out, and it's all fresh.
I love that. I love that. So chicken piccata has been always my favorite there, but of course now I'm almost like your eggplant parmesan. Talk to us just kind of about the menu a little bit, Alfonso.
Well, yeah, we try our best to make you feel comfortable like you're eating at home, you know, and from the plate up to the fresh smell that you smell when it's coming up to the table, I believe that you eat with your eyes first, and then everything follows behind it. And we try to keep it simple. Sometimes, you know, simplicity is the key. I like to say that, you know, we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're just coloring it different colors. And so we take pride in just making a home cooked meal, making it right, making it consistently right. And you know, we have a good time back there. We, you know, like the piccata, we now have a sea bass piccata over Brussels sprouts and mashed potatoes, and that's going to be a winner too. And so, if you like piccata, we do have a couple different versions of it. We also have a veal piccata that's delicious. And on Fridays and Saturdays, we always have a special every night. But on Fridays and Saturdays, I bring in fresh fish from all over the world. And I make a special out of it. So we take pride in the product. We treat the product with respect, and you can see it when we serve it.
I can tell that's why the food tastes so good. Seriously, that's what it's all about, is respecting what you're doing and your passion, and you can tell. And Tom, same with you. How long have you been there? I mean, they are so lucky to have you.
Yeah, I've been there, pretty much from the get-go. I came in shortly after they opened in 2014. So, you know, the thing that we really focus on is a culture, you know, at the Manhattan, you know, and it's a culture of respect. And, you know, to have the collaboration between the front of the house and the back of the house in a restaurant is very unique. It's hard to establish, but at the Manhattan, you know, we work so well together, Alfonso and I, and it just makes things a lot easier, you know, from planning private events to customizing different menus. You know, Alfonso is always game, and he's always looking forward to it. In fact, we're going to use his talents coming up, and we're going to be starting chef table dinners in our private wine room. So these are going to be reservation only, three to four course dinners paired with a wine for each course.
Oh my gosh, what a great idea. Oh, we used to do that. I will be there. And so how do our listeners find out more about that? That is so much fun to watch actually Alfonso in his element, right? And then people get to really watch and learn, and at the same time drink the best wine or the drink that's going to match it, correct?
Absolutely. It'll be a unique experience. You know, for all the information that we're going to be doing, including Valentine's Day, Sinatra Night, we're going to do again with Michael Falcone, which was a huge success. So what we encourage people to do is to go onto our website, themanhattanofcamarillo.com, and a little pop-up will come up, and it says become a VIP. And you just put in your name and your email address, and that will send out a newsletter to your inbox And I do one a month, you know, sometimes two, but typically just one a month to give people a heads up of what's going on. And then our website, of course, is just, it's loaded with information. So go to our website, themanhattanofcamarillo.com, and become a VIP, and that will sign you up for our newsletter.
I love that. And also, you'll be notified all the events. It is in my newsletter, too, for any of our listeners. All you have to do is download our podcast. I mean, download our newsletter, and it will go right to the Manhattan of Camarillo. And I just want to say, you know, it's a hidden treasure. And so I really recommend everybody to get out there and experience some kind of music that you love and the food that you love. And of course, you're going to be treated royally. And that's what it's all about. Tom and Alfonso, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show. We're going to check in with you guys again. And how soon do they need to make reservations for, let's say, Valentine's Day?
Yeah, we're taking reservations now. We're going to be open from 4 until 8 p.m., and we're doing a 3-course prefix menu, which is phenomenal. It's on our website if you want to take a look at that. I would strongly suggest a call soon because
okay.
tables are going quickly. So best way is to just call the restaurant, and if no one picks up, if it's off hours, just leave a message. We check those messages frequently, and we call people back to confirm their reservations. So that would be the best way to do it.
Awesome, you guys. Thank you so much. And again, I love working with all of you, and thank you for making it so special there.
Kim, thanks for your support. We really appreciate it.
Yes,
you got
Kim,
it.
Thank you very much. We enjoyed it.
Yeah. You got it. All right, guys, have a great rest of your day, weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Great stuff. Great show. Thank you so much for joining us all here on the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, I end my show with a moment of happiness. The only way to do good work is to love what you do. And if you can dream it, you can achieve it. With that, have a great rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Wow! I feel good. I knew-